And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Ahoy, listeners. Welcome in to RBLR Bucks, your go-to for everything Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. The calendar says May, the Florida heat is cranking, and while the action on the field is still light, things are slowly starting to pick up. I'm Musab, one of your co-hosts tonight, and folks, as you know already, the draft is in the books, the rookies are in the building, and we've got our first OTA sessions. So, I mean, look, not full speed, not full contact, but, you know, it's, I guess, that first real spark of the next chapter. So today we're going to be reflecting, you know, doing some post-draft thoughts, some, you know, off-season vibes, you know, what to keep your eye on heading into the summer. But as always, please do drop your comments. Tell us how you really feel. And of course, this show is not a one-man show. It never is. And I got the dynamic duo back with us. But this time, thank Benjamin Morrison and Jacob Parrish. You know, game changers on the mic. So, that being said, bringing up that relentless pass rush energy to the mic, Mr. Zach Blaine, how are you, my friend?
You know, I'm surviving, brother. I'm getting over bronchitis, so I'm trying to, we'll see how it goes tonight. Don't give it a whirl, I guess.
Well, hopefully I don't take your breath away. Well, the final puzzle piece of this iconic trio is the one and only, the one who is the smooth operator with breakdown sharper than a Mike Evans cut. He is locked in, ready to roll. Mr. Carter Brantley, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, Mr. Treek. How about yourself? How are you doing this evening?
So far, so good, man. You know, yeah. I'm pretty sure I saw a post from yesterday. Well, it was like 23 hours ago on Facebook, and it was 100 days till the kickoff in the NFL. So I guess maybe 99 now. So we're already in double digits.
There you go. Wow, already in double digits. Look at that. Yeah, 99 days. That's not as long as it might seem. You know, that's only a little over 3 months if my math is mathing. Yeah, like you mentioned, there were some a little bit of Bucks news, a little bit of shaking in the NFL world. Some OTAs are cropping up, some voluntary OTAs. You know, want to preface that because we'll start with the news, quote unquote, of the week, which is Hassan Reddick is not showing up for these voluntary OTAs. Neither are Lavonte David, Vita Vea, and a bunch of other veterans. So it's not really big news, but people are making kind of a stink of it. So I wanted to start there before we get into some more fun topics or more interesting topics rather. But I figured we'd bring it up because other people are talking about it in the Bucks universe. So big deal. No, not a big deal on the Reddick no-show for voluntary OTAs. Musab, what are your thoughts on this?
Nope, not a big deal at all. It's voluntary. And it's just this is just a textbook example of what happens in the off season where people will find anything to kind of just blow up. And you know, like every off season, Carter, it's the return of the interns.
That's right. Oh man, we've all been there, man. We've all been interns, but still, please, I'm begging y'all, please don't touch this stuff because it's not worth anyone's time. But yeah, I'm with you. It's just nothing else going on. I mean, good Lord, they've got Cleveland's tracking their quarterback stats in their training camps because it's, you know, Shedeur Sanders. And that's just bonkers to me. But Zach, maybe you're a bit more worked up about this than us, but I kind of. But what are your thoughts on the Hassan Reddick no-show?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worked up over it. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's not a it would have been nice for him to be there. Like, the other names you mentioned have all been in Tampa for a while. They know the playbook. Mm-hmm. They know the reads. They know everything that you know. Sure. Reddick hasn't, and it's a different defense than he's run before. So it would be nice for him to be there and at least get the – you know, kind of the lingo down, meet with the trainers, meet with the, you know, everyone you need to meet with being the first time on the team. But am I worried about it? Not necessarily. Even if he doesn't show up, like, it's a one-year contract guy. Like, I'm not stressing it too much.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a pretty huge bummer if he didn't show up at all, like if it turned into a Randy Gregory thing. And I think that's sort of what everyone's got the PTSD about. I know that's something we mentioned in our little chat before the show. So I sort of get it, but at the same time, these are pretty different situations. Randy Gregory, that was probably his last year in the NFL, regardless of how it played out, unless he just had a monster season, but that wasn't really necessarily in the cards. Reddick has a lot to gain or lose by playing nice, especially last year after the weird stuff with the Jets, and also playing well. Because if he plays nice and he does a good job, like he racks up some sacks, does a good job of getting after the quarterback, or shows that he can be a mentor for younger guys, he could parlay this into a multi-year deal. You know, he could parlay this into a nice little extra payday before he retires.
Be a Shaq Barrett type deal. Like,
exactly, yeah.
If he plays well, re-signing with Tampa and finishing out his career in Tampa.
Sure. Or even if it's not here, it could be elsewhere. It's just he has a lot to gain and sort of a lot to lose by not doing anything. Whereas Randy Gregory didn't have much to lose. He was kind of on the tail end of his career anyways. Not nearly as productive as Hassan Reddick has been, at least recently. So I don't know. It's kind of comparing apples to oranges in those cases. But like you said, it would have been nice if he would have showed up for the voluntary practices. But at the same time, like, he's also a pass rusher, so he's not worried about, you know, coverages. He's not worried about, you know, calling out plays. Like, it's basically just, hey, man, just stand up, try to get after the quarterback. So I sort of get why he would prefer to stay home. You know, I'm a very big, you know, I work from home when I'm not going to my little job too. So, you know, I get it. I get wanting to work remote. But now we'll get into some more fun topics, or at least more interesting topics, because I kind of wanted to do a little bit of a position deep dive, taking a look at, you know, the various position groups for the Bucs now that training camps are starting to slowly but surely ramp up. So we're kind of going to do a breakdown and kind of go through category by category. And we'll start with which position you think is the weakest point for the Bucs at this point. Looking at their roster, is there any position group that you look at and it kind of concerns you? Zach, I'll start with you, man. What position group are you looking at that's a really big weak point for the Bucs?
I mean, I think we'd be crazy not to at least bring up the interior linebacker position, because we've made almost zero effort to improve it this season. I know we brought in Anthony Walker, but that's essentially it. We brought in some UDFA guys, but the odds of them making a big difference are slim to none anyway. So it's kind of relying a lot on Servacier Dennis stepping up, a really old Deion Jones. Yep, that's right, Hazel. a really old Deion Jones stepping up, and it's just I think that could have used from some outside help in one way or another, whether it be the draft or something else, but that's my biggest need.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think interior linebacker is sort of the, if not one, it's definitely 1A or 1B. I think the other one might be safety. That's probably the position that I go to as well, because Tyke Smith, really fun, and I believe in him. I think that he can be a very strong starter next to Antoine Winfield Jr., but oh man, after that, it gets a little tricky. You know, after that, the depth gets a little icky.
Stud, brother.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I hope so. I hope he turns out to be a solid backup guy, but, you know, got a lot to prove, and he didn't necessarily grade out well in his measurables, but at the same time, you know, stuff happens. So I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Safety and interior linebacker are definitely two positions that are very much questionable for the Bucs. So yeah, I like those two mentions. But Musab, do you have any other positions that you look at and you're kind of, maybe they could have used another starting option?
Oh no, man. I mean, I was going to say safety, if anything. Maybe looking at the offense, I feel like, you know, we could always, you know, beef up the tackle room a little bit, if anything.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I guess things look icky after Baker Mayfield as well in the quarterback room, but
yeah,
I mean, that's just showbiz. I'll probably say, I mean, on the offensive side, yeah, I'll probably just go tackles.
Sure.
That was, you mentioned quarterback. That was a serious contender for my pick there as well, because outside of Mayfield, we've got nothing.
You have a point. We have seen barely anything from Trask. I've seen nothing from Michael Pratt. Connor Bazilak, the rookie.
We've got like four UDFA guys on tryouts and stuff. So it's just not – that scares me a little bit. If, God forbid, knock on wood, Mayfield goes down, we are I think we're in some serious trouble. So I wouldn't have minded an extra quarterback back there.
Yeah, and it gets tough with these conversations too, because I totally agree. Like, the quarterback room is very weak after Baker Mayfield. But if Baker Mayfield goes down, I don't know that there's a backup quarterback that they could have gotten that would have saved the season. You know, I think if Baker Mayfield goes down, that's pretty much GG, regardless if there's, you know, Marcus Mariota, who's one of the better backup quarterbacks, but he's still a backup quarterback. Or if they drafted someone or traded for Joe Milton or something. I don't know. I do feel you. Like, it's definitely an area of concern, but yeah, it's tough because I don't know if that there was a realistic solution to that problem. But you know, just gotta hope Baker doesn't do one of those angry runs that gets himself into trouble. Hopefully he'll slide a little bit more this season, or at least enough to avoid injury, because that can be kind of scary. But on the flip side of that coin, you know, there's the weak points for the Bucs, but there's also some really strong positions. Obviously, they were a playoff team last year. They won the division, so they can't be coming back. And they were still a pretty young team, so they can't be coming back with just all weak points. So what positions come to your mind, Zach, that are really a strong point for this Bucs team?
Wide receiver. Yeah. You got wide receiver. I think the offensive line, I know that we didn't do much to improve the tackles, but I think our offensive line is relatively deep. We've got Opeta coming back. Bredesen's back. We've got some depth there. I'm not sold on cornerback yet. I know a lot of people are going to say cornerback. Too young, in my opinion. Sure. But I think the deepest for me is going to be wide receiver. We've got just studs on top of studs on top of studs at the wide receiver. Too many, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily gonna disagree. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot of wide receivers, and there's only one ball. You know, it's sort of the NBA problem. You got too many scores on the floor. But yeah, it definitely means that if someone goes down, that there shouldn't be that much of a drop off theoretically.
Yeah,
You know, God, like you say, God forbid, and all that stuff. If Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, they're a little long in the tooth. If one of them experiences one of those old age injuries, then hey, it's all good. You know, McMillan and Abuka are coming up, you know, so it should be okay. But I'm with you on the cornerback room. I think that it's still a little bit young, but at the same time, like, you know, you spent a second and a third round pick on the position, and they had to, for better or worse, established starters. There's at least competition there. You know, there's at least an opportunity for growth at that position. So
it's the deepest we've been in a long time there. Absolutely. And I'm feeling more comfortable with it. It's a little early for me, but we're right there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely the best shape that it's been in a very long time. I'm with you there. But Mr. Treek, how about you? Are there any other positions that you look at for the Bucs that you consider, oh, this is going to be pretty good. This is going to be maybe one of their strengths.
I mean, I was going to go with, you know, running backs. If anything, I'm excited to see what Bucky Irving, Rashad White, Sean Tucker. Hell, we even got DJ Williams and rookie Josh Williams as well. So our running back room's looking pretty darn good as well. I mean, yeah, I was going to go wide receiver. Other than that, though, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we got a great defense, but it's not like we're deep. I don't know. That's the thing, you know. Vita Vea, absolute beast. Levante David, you know, Kalijah Kancey, all these guys, Yaya Diaby. But, you know, what goes on after that? So I'm hoping, you know, our rookies, you know.
On defense, it's like after you name the starters at every position, I don't think many people can name the backups. Like, that's kind of how I look at it. Like, we're not that deep. But if we play healthy, we have a really, really, really good team on defense.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I do think that there's a little bit more depth than maybe people realize, but at the same time, they're definitely not name brand guys, and you're relying on a lot of young guys to step up. So that can be a very dangerous thing. I'm absolutely with you. Like, if you're saying Elijah Roberts, fifth round pick, he's a backup interior defensive lineman. He can step up if someone gets hurt. Sure, theoretically, he could. But at the same time, there's a lot of variance. He could go out there and kind of make a fool of himself. You know, like, he could go out there and really struggle. So there's a lot of variance there with those backups, for sure. But, you know, when you look at teams, you got to make choices. And the Bucs clearly decided, hey, you know, with the type of offense that we run, with where we are prioritizing and everything, we wanted to have a deep wide receiver room. And that's going to come at the cost of maybe having depth elsewhere. You know, you got to spend your draft picks and your salary cap accordingly. And that's what they decided, for better or for worse. We'll see. So, you know, there's a lot there. But if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe and make it the wide receiver, the Bucks wide receiver room, make it like that, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some really great gear for you. Anything Tampa Bay sports related, we've got you covered, whether it's the Sun, the Rowdies, the Lightning, the Bucks. Definitely check it out. We've got some really great stuff there. And we'll give you a promo code. That's Canon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S. Type that in to get 10% off your entire order. Definitely check it out. We'd really appreciate it. But going into the second half of our episode, we're still covering the positions because there's a lot to talk about. And I think this next one is kind of the most contentious question that I'm going to ask in this episode, because it's just the most interesting. I think that there's a lot to talk about. What position specifically, we're getting into kind of the nitty gritty. What position specifically do you all look at and think, oh man, there's going to be a lot of competition there, especially in training camp and preseason? Musab, I'll start with you, man. What individual's position specifically is most up for grabs going into this offseason?
Most up for grabs got to be wide receiver, you know, right after Godwin and Evans, you know, who's going to be right there with them. Wide receiver, I mean, exactly wide receiver three. I mean, should it be Igbuka? I don't know. I mean, it's anyone's game, honestly. I mean, I guess it should, you know.
Yeah, spend a first round pick on it. Yeah.
But no, seriously, though, I mean, we're loaded over there. Other than that, though, I mean, I don't see maybe some competition, I guess, you know, for backups, you know, backup DBs, but that's about it, though. That's my honorable mention.
Right. Yeah, no, wide receiver three is definitely going to be the most talent-rich position group that's up for grabs. Absolutely, because McMillan has proven that he can at least be a viable starter in the NFL, maybe a viable starting wide receiver three, and he has a high ceiling. So, you know, you're kind of excited about him potentially getting more playing time, but at the same time, spend a first round pick on Emeka, you want him to play a lot too. So it's just tough. It's one of those things where there's maybe not really a good answer, or maybe the answer is you run a lot of four wide receiver sets. I don't know. The new Grizzard is going to come in and he's going to do his thing, or Grizzard. We're going to figure out how to pronounce his last name.
Grizzard.
Yeah. Grizzard. But you know, he's going to be working his magic, because I don't know. I'm really excited to see what he does with this offense, especially now that they have four different wide receivers that could theoretically be, you know, really good starting wide receivers. I'm excited to see that competition play out. Hopefully injury doesn't decide that, because then it just cuts into the depth a little bit. Hopefully we are truly, you know, kind of wondering going into it. I think one of the positions that I think could low-key be very much up for grabs is sort of the, if you want to call it right end or whatever position you want to call it. Obviously Vea and Kancey are the two established defensive linemen, but that third interior defensive line spot, Logan Hall, does William Golston come back, or is it Elijah Roberts that steps up? I think that third defensive line spot next to those other two guys is really going to be up for grabs, because, you know, Vea and Kancey are established and they're going to be really good, hopefully, if they're healthy, but that third defensive end, that could be really fun. So we'll see how that plays out. But Zach, how about you, man? Do you have any other positions that are really up for grabs for the Bucs this offseason?
I think the biggest one for me is inside linebacker. Obviously, we've got Lavonta David, but who's going to be next to him?
Absolutely.
Because right now it looks like Servassier Dennis, but we've got three other guys who theoretically could play just as well as Dennis, because we've not seen much of Dennis. I think of like a wide open battle. I think of one that we could be like not expecting someone to win it, and they can win it. When it comes like wide receiver three, for me, it's a two horse race.
Sure.
So I don't think it's as open as other spots. I think it's the most interesting position battle, but I think it comes down to Igbuka or McMillan. So I think the most wide open race, like, I wouldn't be shocked if it was Deion Jones, Anthony Walker, Servassier Dennis. I think it's got to be inside linebacker for me.
Yeah, no, that's a great shout out. Because all three of those guys are kind of, they come with their pluses and minuses. You know, Servassier Dennis has been getting some glowing remarks from the coaching staff. You know, he's been kind of talked up by this coaching staff. And frankly, like, I kind of want to throw this question back at y'all to get some predictions, some way too early predictions. Frankly, I think Servassier Dennis takes that spot. I think that he ends up starting next to Lavonta David. Zach, would you disagree or agree? What are your thoughts on it?
No, I've been saying Servassier Dennis since last year. before he got hurt. I think that he's got the potential to be very, very good. The injury history scares me. He's not played a full season in the league.
Right.
Granted, I think it's only his third year, but still, like, not played a full season yet. Missed a majority of last season. But I think that the little bit that we've seen from him, he's shown flashes of being really, really good. So I think he gets it. I'm kind of heartbroken because I low-key kind of want to see Anthony Walker in there. I like Walker, but I would be happier with Servassier Dennis, I think.
Yeah, I think that there's more upside to Servassier Dennis. Oh, I think that
far more upside, yeah.
Right. I think that if Servassier Dennis earns the starting job, he could, like, kind of emerge as a steal from that his draft class.
Yeah, and he would be a much better replacement long-term for David as opposed to a 30-year-old Walker.
Right, absolutely, because then the hope mm-hmm. is that eventually, you know, Dennis takes over for David, and then they can sort exactly. of just shift the priorities and then bring in another veteran to sort of yep. support. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I'm glad we're aligned on that. But Mr. Tariq, how about you? What are your thoughts on wide receiver three? I wanted to ask right now, just point blank, if you had to choose between Abuka and McMillan. I know it's super early, but who do you think gets that wide receiver three spot?
I'm gonna go Abuka just because. I mean, yeah. How do you get a guy round one and then, you know, not have him as a starter? So
absolutely,
I wouldn't be surprised though if McMillan takes that spot from him. You know, let Abuka maybe sit back, maybe they share the role, but I'm gonna lean Abuka for now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think that Abuka, like when they, you know, they flash the Buck starters, I think Emeka Abuka is the name that pops up for that third receiver role. But I'm with you. I think that Evans and Godwin being on snap counts, quote unquote, like maybe being more reticent to shift them on and off the field to, you know, ensure that they're effective over the whole season just because they're aging. I think that's going to play a huge role into McMillan and Abuka still seeing the field enough because, you know, they're young. They want to progress. They want to develop. So I think Godwin and Evans sort of rotating in and out a little bit more than maybe previous years will be huge. And it'll be great for Baker because, you know, then Baker doesn't have nearly as much of a drop off. Then you're not dealing with, well, now he's throwing to Cam Johnson and Trey Palmer and Rakeem Jarrett, you know, like, you know, God bless those guys, but they're, you know, they're not supposed to really be running NFL routes. And Abuka and McMillan, you're excited about that. So yeah, I'll be interested to see how it plays out, but I'm with you. I think Abuka takes that wide receiver three role out of the gate, but maybe as the season progresses, maybe it's more of a shared load, like you said. But getting into this next question, this is sort of a personal preference thing, but what position group do you look at and you're kind of rooting for them? You know, like you're thinking, oh man, I really hope they do well. Maybe it's not the best position group. Maybe it's not the worst, but maybe it's just a group of guys that you really like. For me, it's the running back room, like Bucky Irving. I mean, who doesn't love Bucky? And then Rashad White, I'm hoping that he can, you know, continue to be effective in that pass catching role, continue to be a great pass blocker, and just continue to do that. And Sean Tucker, like, who can't, you know, you can't not root for an undrafted guy like that. And he was so good against the Saints last year. I think that given another opportunity like that, he could really show some flashes. So the running back room is my personal favorite. But Mr. Tariq, how about you, man? Do you have a position group that you're really rooting for to sort of emerge and be successful for this Bucs team?
Yeah, I'm looking at the O-line.
I'm actually
really looking for. I'll tell you that our team's success relies on the O-line. You got a stacked wide receiver core, great, but what is a stacked wide receiver core if you got a shitty O-line? You know what I'm saying? These guys are just letting Baker just get, you know, run over. So same thing with the run room, you know, creating opportunities for Bucky, Rashad, Sean Tucker, everyone else. So I mean, we've seen great things already from guys like Tristan Wirfs, Graham Barton, Luke Gadecki stepped up. I mean, are we perfect? No, but I'm happy with what I see. And, I mean, I'm also kind of excited to see what Suo Peta can do as well because, you know, we didn't get him last year. So, you know, looking forward to that. But, yeah, that's about it, though. I'm looking at the O-line.
Yeah, the O-line is really – yeah, it's sort of the biggest question mark, especially those guard positions with Bredesen and Mauch. They're sort of the most I don't want to say unproven because Bredesen's been in the league for a few years now, but they are easy to root for because, you know, the offensive linemen always such the unsung heroes. Like, you know, they sort of get all the blame, but they never get any of the credit sort of thing. Like if the offense is doing well, it's, oh, look at how great the quarterback is. Look at all the playmakers. And when it's doing poorly, it's like, God, what's the offensive line doing? You know, so it can be easy to root for them. They're sort of the underdogs of the team, so to speak. So yeah, I'm with you. I think that they'll have another really good season because they were pretty good last year. Despite, like you said, Luke Gadecki, he missed some games, but when he came back, he was really good. You know, he continues to show that he's a pretty good right tackle. He's not a very good guard, but he's a pretty good right tackle. So I'm excited to see how Luke Gadecki can go out there and continue to show growth, hopefully stay healthy and maybe earn a big contract because I think he's a pending free agent. So we'll see how Gadecki does. But Zach, how about you, man? I know you're a big cornerback guy. So is that the position that you're picking as your favorite or maybe you're mixing?
I mean, running back was up there until I saw Rashad White talk about one final ride. Like, all right, come on. I started rooting for you and now you make me want to trade you again. So I don't want to root for him anymore. I'm lying. I hope he does really well still, but just I'd almost rather trade him at this point. And that I was singing a different tune last season at the end of the season. I admit to that. But now I'm right back to my original don't need to kind of talk. I think cornerback's a big one. But, again, I want to see the young guns play. So I want to see, like, the young guns play really well. I don't necessarily want Jamel Dean to have a 9-interception season. Like, if that makes sense. It sounds awful, but I'm ready for a new batch of corners in Tampa, and I don't like the old ones. So I don't know how to explain it, but I guess I'm going to go corner.
Hey, man. Okay. Fair enough. You're saying I hate Jamel Dean and I hope.
Yeah, man. Jamel Dean's about to get a pick six week one and then have a little white tee under that saying F you, Zach.
Right. I don't hate him. I've seen enough of him. He's not going to stay healthy. If he does, cool. Glad that it's his last year of his contract. That's basically where I'll go with it.
Fair enough. And if it makes you feel better about the Rashad White stuff, he's probably gone after this year, so you don't have to.
I know he is, but why waste the spot? Like, give me Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving, and I'll be a happy camper.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, it's all just silly drama, but yeah, we'll
100%. See how it's like people. I know that people are taking it and running with it because it's those interns we talked about. But I don't know. I saw that and I literally in the back of my head, I was just like, brother, you're on thin ice. Like you're not really as important as I think you used to be here. You should be a starting running back. I'll give you that, but you're not going to be here. So like, just enjoy the ride and then let's just call it a day.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, you know, I think it might have been a retrospective sort of thing because he knows Bucky Irving took his job. You know, he's not going to get re-signed. He's probably going to go elsewhere, which is fine. You know, it's all good. I think both sides got what they wanted out of the relationship, and it's time to move on. So, I do feel you. It's a bit of a weird thing, but he's showing up. You know, the coaching staff seems pleased with him. He's not, you know, Devin Whiting it or anything. It's just like, hey.
And I will full on give him that. He is there and he is active, and that I appreciate 100%.
For sure. Absolutely. I mean, those are kind of our personal favorites. Zach, I think your least favorite might be the running back room, I guess. Or are there any other position groups that you're actively rooting against or anything?
No, I'm not even rooting against the running back room because I want
to know who's your hater of the year.
I think it's the same as my favorite. I think I'm rooting against the starting corners.
Oh, my goodness.
Such a weird thing. And not even really Zion. I hope Zion plays well. I want to see Benjamin Morrison and Jacob Parrish next to Zion. I don't want to see it being Jamel Dean. I was really high on the trade Dean away this season, this offseason train. So I don't wish him bad. Like, he's been really a good person in Tampa, but he's just been ineffective in Tampa. So like, I don't want him to like break a leg and not ever play again, but I don't want him to have a great season and stick around for another 3 years. Like, I'm cool with just calling it quits.
Yeah, if it makes you feel like it's sort of like the Rashad White situation where, like, he's probably gone after this year anyways. So
unless he has a great season and then Tampa's going to go, I'm telling you, it's Tampa, brother.
if anything, I think him having a great season would encourage him to leave and go get a, because like the Carlton Davis just got paid by the Patriots. Like cornerbacks are getting paid and like, you know, the salary cap keeps going up. The Bucs aren't going to want to assign that much cap space to an aging cornerback like Jamal.
I sure hope not, but Tampa loves to keep players around for a really long time for no damn reason.
Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, Musab, you got any positions that you actively hate, like Mr. Blaine over here? Any Jamel Deans?
Actively hate. Probably say. Oh man, I have to say honestly, the quarterback room after Baker.
Just yeah. Because,
I mean, I hate to just put him on the spot, but I'm kind of slowly turning into a Kyle Trask hater. It's weird, just because I was riding the Trask train at one point, but. You know, this is how life works. But seriously, I mean, it's just scary because we really haven't seen anything. And I feel like the amount of confidence or that I've felt from the Buccaneers organization regarding Kyle Trask is a lot lower than I had thought. So that's probably the best way to put it.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's definitely strange. Hopefully this disdain for Trask is just us talking, and we'll never see him play the field. You know, we'll never see him go out there. He'll just be holding a clipboard all year, and we'll end the season, and we'll be like, boy, Kyle Trask sure does suck. Good thing he didn't see the field, you know. So that's sort of the hope, because if he does see the field, like you said, he has not proven anything. He hasn't shown anything. He's been mid. Like, he has not been good. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe next season they'll draft a quarterback. I know they passed on Shador 4 or 5 times, which, much to Zach Blaine's.
Thank God.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Maybe next season's the year. Maybe they'll get a quarterback in the mid to late rounds to sort of back up Baker and replace Trask. We'll see.
Quarterback next season, I don't think it's going to be to back up Baker, because next season, this is his, or next season's the last year of his contract, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
If they have a quarterback they like early.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it, but I wouldn't be shocked to see something like that happen, because Baker's going to be.
Yeah, he's going to be getting paid. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big Lenore Sellers fan.
That's my worst nightmare right now. I'm going to be honest. Man. I've been thinking about it lately, because if they have a quarterback they like next season and Baker's needing 60 sure. million a year.
Then, right. Then, yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked to see old Arch Manning in Tampa next season.
Oh, man, you read my mind, Zach. I was just about to ask you that. I was about to say, so what do you say, Archie Manning?
Oh, man, I don't know. If Arch does declare for the draft, he's going 1 or 2. Like, that's the only – yeah, that's the only situation that Arch
Manning – the way-too-early mock draft has him at, like, 15 right now.
See, that's the thing. Like, if he's not – if he doesn't play well enough to earn – like the one QB1 role, then he's going to just stay another year, you know, because he's only.
I think if you get taken first round, depending on where you get taken, if you go first round, you're still in QB1. Oh, you're saying QB1 in the draft.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
like if he's, I got you.
Because, like, he could, like, with the NIL stuff and everything, like, he could get paid in Texas too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean, they were just saying Sanders, his NIL value was like 6.1 and his contract with Cleveland's like 2.4 or 4.3, one of the two.
Right, it's tough.
So the NIL has made it much different, which is cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
But right now, I think they're projecting Arch to be QB3.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll see. I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think it's LSU's quarterback. It's Sellers.
Nussmeier, yeah.
It's Sellers, Nussmeier, and somebody else, and Arch Manning are the top 4.
Gotcha. Yeah, we'll see. We'll talk about it when that, you know, we'll cross that bridge when it gets there, right? You know, if Baker has another great year and he plays himself into big contract talks, then, you know, that's what we'll be talking about in the offseason. But it also means the Bucs will probably have another playoff year. So, you know, that's pretty fun too. So, but either way, we'll be here talking about it, just like we'll be here next week talking about some more Bucs football. So definitely stick around that. I think we're going to be talking about some dream trade targets just for funsies, because it's the off season and Lord knows we need content. So that's what we'll be talking about next week, more than likely. So definitely hit that like and subscribe button if you want to hear from us and get notifications when we're on live and everything like that. You can also give us a follow at RBLR Sports or at RBLR Bucks. So definitely check us out. We've got some great content across the channel. But thank you to my two great co-hosts for making my job easier. Thank you all for tuning in, sticking around with us. We'll see y'all next week. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.